The Ryan Reese Show from Southern California. This is The Ryan Reese Show. Post your questions using @RyanReese on his Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Are you ready?
All right. The show was too good last week, so we had to bring Sonny Sandoval back, the lead singer of the band POD and co-founder of the Whosoever's Movement. I want to tell you guys, you need to go listen to the last show, part one of Sonny Sandoval. It was literally fire. Check it out. Download it. It's on YouTube, thewhosoevers.com, or the Whosoever's app. But before we start this show, Sonny, I was telling you about these roller skates. So these roller skates, what's happening is, you know, it was all the derby girls. You know, remember like years ago, probably like, I don't know, 2000. I remember going to the skate contest, and then in the middle of the skate contest, or when it was like at the halfway point, they brought in all these roller derby girls. They were like the suicide girls, you know? Yeah. And they were coming out, but they were like hardcore roller derby. But what happened from there, you know, now it's blown up. And now the roller skates, it's all these girls that are showing up at the skate parks.
Yeah.
And they're skating the bowls. Yep. Remember little Katie from the Whosoever's?
Yeah, she's
on those. She actually skates and roller skates. And she does like flips and stuff.
Dude.
So they're shredding, which is so interesting because even back in the 80s, when I used to skate Pipeline, when I was like in second grade, there wasn't girls. It was guys that were in roller skates, and they used to skate these big bowls like in 1982. So you had roller skaters and skaters. But anyway, no, I think it's dope. I'm trying to get my kids some roller skates. So do your daughters have roller skates? Did they get them?
They do, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been trending slowly, but now it's kind of,
it's about to take off for sure. It's just taking off. Yeah, it's going to blow up.
It's fun, dude.
Do you roller skate?
No, I rollerblade. Just kidding.
I've seen you on a skateboard and you actually push. Correct. I remember seeing you on a tour. I remember we were Florida, and you got your bag and you got on a board and you started pushing away. I was like, all of us all looked over. We're like, hey, look, Sonny pushes. He knows how to skate.
He pushes right.
That's sick. And then Justice. Oh, he landed the kickflip on tour.
Yep. Yeah. He's been skating every day, man.
Did he get some boards from us recently?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
He will later when I get them.
Yeah, we got some more boards. Yeah. Get him on deck. Those boards skate good.
Yeah.
They got good pop and good shape.
According to Jairus, the best board he skates.
He said that?
Yeah.
Dude, no, the board's got
and
pop.
He shreds.
He does. They got pop. They're really good. I was really impressed with them. And we got a brand new shape at thewhosoevers.com. Nice. All right, Leo, let's get into this interview. So this last interview, we're just talking about your faith walk, finding God, starting the band, navigating being a Christian in a band, working in the secular mainstream world on secular labels,
yeah,
and navigating through that. That show was dope. People need to hear it, and they're going to be fired up about that. But now I want to talk about, so let's talk about what happened when the pandemic hit. I want to talk about kind of what you went through during the pandemic, during that era, like what projects you were working on. And then I want to lead into going on tour with the Whosoevers.
Yeah, man.
So what the heck happened? Okay, first of all, when the pandemic happened, what were you and Chris? What were you and Shannon doing? Because me and Crystal were like, "Oh, dang! Like, is this like The Walking Dead?
Yeah.
Or what? Like, what were you guys thinking?"
well, we had already. Let's see, this was around what? Come February and then beginning of March. You know, we already had tours lined up. Go back over to Europe. So when all this kind of happened, we just sat around, you know, trying to figure out what's up. And then they told us, you guys are going to basically stay in for 2 months. Dude,
what was the thought process? I was stoked.
But
I know you were stoked to be home with your kids, but did you think like this virus was like were you like, because they shut down the whole world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no, what was going on in your mind when they shut down the whole world?
It happened so fast. You know, like, I think I even posted then where it's like, dude, it's not even the virus that scares me. It's the people. Because before I even really knew much about the virus, I just know that there's no toilet paper. There's no food. The shelves are empty. It's like, dude, who are the savages that are just like raiding these stores without thinking about anybody else?
But with all that said, like the panic.
Were you kind of like, all right, dude, this is kind of crazy.
Dude,
you know, all of a sudden I'm counting my bullets.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, dude, and then we can't get any.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so I went to the homie's house. You know, they had some shells. I'm like, all right, we just got to make sure.
Seriously, huh? No, dude, that's a real thing.
Because it's like, I mean, that's just your first thing. Like, dude, okay, well.
Protect my family.
Yeah, protect my family. And if they're raiding the stores right now, it's like, if this gets, you know,
yeah,
apocalypto style, yeah, you know what I mean? I know. It's like, dude, they might be coming after thinking I got all kinds of money or something. I don't know. It's just all these things. But
yep.
I learned throughout the year, even now with everything that's going on, it's like to not get caught up going down the rabbit hole, because it's just there's so much information. There's so much stuff out there, dude. And it really does take my focus on just and my trust in God.
Yeah,
because I'm too busy trying to get answers everywhere, you know, around me.
It is. I've learned the same thing.
It's scary.
It's there's a lot of propaganda out there, mm-hmm. and it doesn't matter what side you're on.
Yeah.
You know, who what side you find on with politics or whatever. And it gets your eyes off of God, and you get anxiety, and you get sucked right into this whole thing. So
it's been proven throughout the year. Everybody's tripping.
Absolutely. So okay. So after you find out that everyone wasn't dropping dead like all the propaganda.
Be better in 2 months.
That the coronavirus exists and people are getting sick. This is all true. Yep. What happened? So you guys got what? So they're like, you're staying home. So what was the blessing side of it?
Yeah. So obviously it's like, okay, 2 months you guys stay home. It's the world will go back to normal. So it was like, cool. To me, that was a 2 month vacation.
Yeah.
And to be home, you know, I'm used to touring 13 months out of the year. So. Yeah. For this was a blessing. It's like, okay. And my kids are going to be home. They're all doing their school. My wife, it's like, cool. Let's stay home and just hang out with them, you know? And then in the meantime, I was able to focus on other things other than just always POD, you know?
Yeah. Some new projects.
Yeah. I met a bunch of cool people online with like reggae rhythms and stuff. And then, they would send me stems, and I would literally just sit there in my Logic, my computer, set up my mic, and I would just record vocals and songs. And so I kind of got a project under my belt that I'm hoping to finish here pretty soon.
So like a full like an EP, an album?
No, I literally got like 15 songs. So, okay. You know, and then now that we're getting back in POD, the momentum, you know, touring's starting again, 20th anniversary of Satellite. We're going to be busy for the next year and a half, 2 years. So I'm just trying to figure out where I can release some of my own music. And
How would that work? Like, how would you release that? Would that be like a tour? Would that just be
I hope so. I mean, I know most of the, you know, the bands that are in the scene right now, they're headlining these festivals, and you know, the managers that we're all connected to the industry. And I've talked to a few different managers where they're like, dude, if you do a reggae record or whatever, we'll throw you on tour, you know. So it's just
Time then.
It's just all timing, you know. I don't want to interfere with POD, but at the same time, I think, you know, what can I do to just make sure I get stuff out that's I'm passionate about, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm trying to get to do a few different things right now.
Well, yeah, try do a show.
We things come up. People are like, dude, let's do a podcast. Let's do a book. Let's do this or that. Yeah. And I'm like, you know, it's just me. I've been in such POD mode for so long, and it requires 100%, you know. Yeah. So now with pandemic switching things up, mm-hmm. and then not being able to tour for over a year, you know, living off savings, it's all those kind of things again, trusting in God, not trying to get freaked out about it. But I'm a working class musician, you know. I tour, and that's how I make money, you know.
Yep.
You don't make money off CD sales anymore. You make money off touring, right? So here I am living off savings for over a year. It's like, okay, what if this continues? You know, again, trusting God, not freaking out, but I need to, what other things can I do? And so there are ways to put out music, you know, through different streams and channels where, you know, you can get paid for that, or even doing your own podcast. You know, you get enough followers, you know, there's subscriptions, all kinds of ways. So I just trying to think of other ways that if God forbid I had to get no touring for another year and a half, I wouldn't survive, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think
that's just reality.
That's a reality with everyone.
Yeah, that's reality.
I mean, so many people have been living off their savings or out of work and just even like, you know, with the pandemic, I think it's encouraged people that actually have that drive to go out and figure out how to make money. Cause you can make money.
Yeah.
You just got to figure out how it works in your zone.
Yeah.
You know, and God will open the doors and stuff like that. So that's cool. You're on Twitch now too.
Started. Yeah.
So that's a good thing for you to get going. And then, even the book deal, I know that you guys have been talking to, I think you guys restarted talking to Matt, right? For the, so that's good. Get that going. You got to have a book.
Opportunities, you know,
yeah.
I always kind of shied away from it. Just, again, being busy with other things. But I don't know. Just feel like maybe it's that season. You know,
yeah.
To do some other things and be creative in other ways.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So you have the it's reggae stuff, possible book in the progress, and then POD. So when are you going back on tour?
Our European tour and all the festivals and stuff for June got canceled because they're still dealing with all this stuff.
Did they just cancel it?
Probably like last month.
Okay.
But as far as the U.S. goes, I mean, things are opening up. So we're scheduled to head out in August for about literally 2 months. All U.S. All around.
L.A.?
I think so.
Really?
I think so. Everywhere.
That's crazy.
Well, no, you know what? I don't know if I've seen it. I think I might have seen the observatory over in Orange County.
Really?
Yeah. So
Orange County, ever since COVID hit, they've been open.
Yeah. LA is a little bit more.
I've been eating indoors ever since.
Good for you.
I go in, I'm like, everyone's eating indoors? Like, where you go? They go, we're not going out of business. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, Let me get some pancakes.
Yeah. Like Florida when we went. Yeah.
Gavin Newsom hates Orange County.
Yeah.
Because every time they say something, they're like, the sheriffs will be like, no, we're not going to enforce that.
Yeah, we're good.
Or shut down the parks. No, we're not going to do that. The beaches. No, I don't think so.
Well, we're playing there sometime late summer.
Perfect. So. We'll be there.
Yeah, no, so as of now, fingers crossed, nothing's changing. And then hopefully this is the beginning of just opening things up. And that'll be the end of the year. Looks like the beginning of the year, maybe some overseas stuff if that opens up.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, but just day by
States
day.
Is open, though. States are opening up.
Musicians and entertainers, they're fired up right now. You know, they just want to go.
People are going nuts, dude. When the shows come back,
yeah.
As you guys are on your first tour.
I hope so, man. You know, I hope even people that are like, dude, there's a show right down the street. I'm there. Even if they wouldn't have went normally, because before
music.
You get spoiled, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how I felt about the United States. We'll go overseas. And it'll sell out because people are like, dude, I might not ever be able to see these guys again.
I know.
In the U.S., we tour so much.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll see him next week. I'll see him next month.
It's true.
So now with this, you know, the year and a half drought, the hope is that the market will pick up because concert tickets are just going to go.
They're going to go.
That's the hope.
They're going to go.
I hope so.
All right. So, okay, you have all that going. And then... You know, during this pandemic, the Whosoever's has been touring. We haven't stopped because we saw the need.
Yeah.
And then it was cool because you had time to tour.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was like, yo, get on this trip. Because we were dropping the films, you were watching the movies, and you were like, all right, I think I need to get on a trip. What when you started watching the films, what did the new Whosoever films stir you at all to get on tour or like?
Yeah, I mean, but also just...
What was going on?
Once it extended past the 2 months, and it's like, dude, we're going into more months and more months throughout the year. I'm just used to being gone, or even with POD or just, you know, ministry stuff. You feel like I was trying to take any opportunity I can to just feel like I wasn't wasting my time. That God's still using my life. You know what I mean?
Because
it's been almost 30 years where I'm always surrendering to God, whatever you want. And now that I was having, I do, trust me, I appreciate the time being home, but just getting a little antsy, you know what I mean? So, and when I would go on tour and come home and, you know, mostly you're doing Southern California stuff, you know, you'll hit me up and be like, hey, we're going to be here and I'll come out. But this was, we had left California because things were open. So to be able to jump on that for, you know, 2 weeks at a time was a blessing for me, not only to be able to help and to serve, but just to get kind of a re-energize a little bit more in my faith, you know?
Yeah, and it was cool because even like as the movement has been moving, it's like God's been bringing all these new young kids to
I love it.
Youngsters just to come alongside because it's there's so much going on in one tour. We've realized that when you're in a spot, it's not just about one or two people. There's so many people there that need to get ministered to get talked to and prayed for. That now we just show up with like a little posse, and then I'm just like, "Hey,
it's rad.
You guys all know what to do. Yeah. We're gonna party. We're gonna give the gospel, and then everyone just absorb into the crowd.
Yeah.
And go do what God's called you to do.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Just unleash them.
Yeah.
And it's been cool to actually get you back on the tour at your availability, obviously, and just to see you in the mix and be able to actually, because I always talk about you on tour, like. You know, well, you know, your name will come up obviously because you know you've been a part of the whole thing and started it. And I'll tell them, oh yeah, you know, this is something. Then you bringing you on tour to be able to actually hang out,
yeah,
And it's like, I just look at you like, you know, you're like the shepherd, you know, you're just like, you come in with that father's heart and that veteran, you know, in a sense, and the inspiration, they all know you've been doing it in the mainstream forever. So they look up to you and you have that voice in their lives. And it's just cool to just see all these guys and just get really influenced.
Yeah. No, I love seeing the young people come up. The focus has always been on young people, you know what I mean? Yeah. Just trying to get their hearts to soften up and open up to, you know, to the Lord. But to see these young people on fire, again, it fires me up, you know? And that's why I wanted to go out on those past couple of tours, because, again, you go down the rabbit hole with, like, oh, dude, am I going to tour? Am I going to make money? Am I going to be able to provide? The world is ending. You know, all these things, dude, whatever, we're all coming against each other. Uh-huh. The world is over. So to be able to go out and not think about those things and just, like, really trust in the Lord. And when you're on these tours, it's different because you really do go more with a mission heart to, like, hey, we have 2 weeks, 10 days, whatever, to just go, you know, to the wall for the Lord and see what God does. You know, whereas everyday life, it's like you do everyday life stuff and, like, okay, cool, whatever happens, Lord, you know, you bring someone my way or someone, whatever, it's all cool. But we go there with an intention and a purpose where it's like, dude, every person I lock eyes in we just feel like it's of God. You know, if someone walks up to you and be like, hey, dude, nice van, or hey, what are you guys doing here? You look like you're from out of town. Like, well, dude, let me tell you, dude. Uh-huh. You know, so it's just more, you're on it, you know?
You know what's awesome is, like, just even going to the scriptures, it's like that's when Jesus, when he commissioned them to go, mm-hmm. it's like there's times in there when he sent them out. When you read the Bible, like the Sea of the Galilee was the Sea of the Gentiles, they called it. Mm-hmm. Jesus spent most of his ministry in the away from the Jewish temple, the church in Jerusalem. He was religious, like, out. City, he was out in the world the majority of his ministry. But so he was on mission. But then he got the disciples, the 12 first, and then he got the 72, and he sent them out and he commanded them.
Yeah.
I command you to go cast out all the demons, heal the sick, and basically preach the gospel, right?
Yeah.
And then we know Jesus said in the end of the gospels, preach the gospel, all signs and wonders will follow. So it's like you go out and preach the gospel and the fruit of the power is just going to follow and you're going to see things happen, basically. Yeah. It's very simple. He says, you will see. So in the same sense, as like when we go out on mission, we are it's like almost like when you go on mission, to me, and looking at scripture, it's like almost like God goes, okay, I've anointed you for this time. I've organized the trip. Yes. I opened all these doors on tour, and I'm going to open up other doors when you're on tour as well. But I'm sending you, and we know what he's commanded us. Go out and do it.
Yeah.
Preach the gospel, signs and wonders will follow. So he just commissions us to do it. And for some reason, well, because God says it, that when you put yourself in that situation and you follow his word and you hold him to his word and he goes, if you go, you're going to do these things. Yeah. You're going to actually do greater things than I've done. When you go, it's like the power comes with you.
Yeah.
It's like he anoints you and things happen. And they might not necessarily happen in normal day life all the time.
Right.
But there's something about when you put yourself in that situation for that mission at that time when you go, there's just like more power that happens.
Yeah.
And I go to the scripture because you see in the scripture and he goes, I'm going to send you and I command you to go do these things. Right. Well, here, we're his disciples. Right. And he commissioned us to do these things. And I've seen these things happen. And I know that now
it's amazing. Yeah.
You've seen this stuff.
But I think that's also God saying, see, I told you, like, I told you to go. You were a little hesitant.
Yeah.
And I opened all these doors and we don't have to plan it all out. You know, we hustle and bustle to get it, make everything perfect. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 95% of the time it always falls through anyway. And it breaks out into something else. But when you just go and God says, show up, I like operating in that, you know, cause then I know that it really is out of my control and God is doing something. But I think God blows our minds so that it's just like, see, I told you that I did.
Yeah.
And then you get too excited, you know what I mean? And it's not, again, it's not forced. It's just us trusting in God. And that's what we did. And when things start to happen, it's like, dude, this is so cool. But I don't think we've ever arrived to a place where it's like, you know, we just know how things are going to happen. And we're so in control of it.
Yeah.
For me, and I love this walk with God, is that God is always blowing my mind when I when I need him to. And so, especially when I walk in faith and it's scary or there's, it might be uncomfortable, when God shows up, it's like, it's undeniable, you know, and that's, and as many times I share the gospel with people, it's like, I can never give them that and explain what that feels like until they experience that for themselves. You know what I mean? Like, how do I explain the way God blows my mind or makes me feel or reconfirms in my heart that, dude, I'm in control. I love you so much. Dude, my plan for you is this. And when that happens, it's like, I can't, I don't have the words to explain that. I just know that I know that I know that God is in control and he's moving. And the cool thing about the Who Service Tour is that we give over that authority to God to just say, we trust you, Lord, whatever. We're ready for whatever you want. And he shows up every time.
Yes. What I've learned going along what you said previously to that is that led that is the more I go into a relationship with God and I the less I know what he's going to do.
Yeah.
The more like cuz you were saying you'll never like that you've ever arrived.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll never feel like I've arrived because the more I grow into a relationship with him and the more I'm seeing him pour out his spirit and the more he does, I'm like, he's wild. The Holy Spirit's wild. Like, what is he going to do next? Like, this is like, this is, he blows my mind. Yeah. And I just, right when I think I know him, I'm like, you just went and just did it like that.
Yeah.
Like you just reached that person like that. And all I'm doing and you're doing is we're just stepping out. And like when Peter, like when it says he stepped forward, I love that word in New Living. It's like he stepped forward.
Yeah.
And when he stepped forward, the baptism of the Holy Spirit came upon him. He speaked and all kinds of people got saved. Yeah. It's something about when you just step forward. And that's a little step of faith. Just step forward into whatever that is. And that little act of faith, like I'm going to step. It's just that transition of when you move your body into that position of like, I'm going to go for it. Yeah. Before you even know what you're going to say or anything, the Holy Spirit, boom, kicks in. And then you preach the gospel, which you just talk to him about God, and then God does whatever he wants to at that moment. And when you lay your hands on him to pray for him, he does whatever he wants at that moment, whether he's going to give him a picture where they're going to feel like the living water flow through him, they're going to feel warmth, or they're going to feel nothing, and they're just going to be like, whoa, I feel clear-headed. I'm clear-headed now, or whatever it is. It's God, Jesus shows up and does what he wants to do, but all we have to do is step forward. And you know what else it's done for me on these trips is it's led me to go back to the word of God. Mm. Like when something happens, you know, like when you pray and God touches someone's life and however he decides to touch them individually, because that's how he does it. You know, it's, and we don't live by feelings and emotions, but however he touches their life and whatever that means to that person, however he reveals himself to them, let's just say that. And I see it and I'm like, well, where's that in the scripture? This is crazy. And it keeps pushing me back to the word. Like right now, awesome. I just bought a new Bible. I got a big print like you. It's not as big. I think you got the super giant, big gulp version. But I got the giant print.
Yeah.
I think you got the super giant or something. Yeah.
Super giant.
But I got the big print and I'm excited right now because everything I've been seeing on tour and as I'm just going through the word of God, I'm going through Ray Bentley stuff right now. And I just love him because he's like a Holy Ghost guy too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's a Holy Ghoster for sure. And the word. So I got this new Bible and I'm like, I want to go through and I'm going to read all the New Testament again. I'm going to start in the New Testament because everything that we're seeing on trips and everything. Yeah. And I want to go through and I want to underline stuff. Like today I heard about that. Jesus, he commanded them.
Yeah.
To go and cast out every demon and lay hands on the sick. And then at the end of that chapter it says, they went and they cast out all demons and healed all the sick.
Yeah.
So I want to go through there now and just what I'm seeing on tour and what God's doing with people. I want to go back to the word and I want to really pay close attention to what Jesus is saying here. Yeah. And I feel like I want to underline words I never saw before.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff now that I'm seeing as God's moving in power.
Yeah.
It's like when we started seeing all these healings on these trips and then I was like, but where's this in the Bible?
Yeah.
I went back and read the New Testament again, the Gospels, and then the book of Acts. And I'm like, dude, there's healings all over. More healings in these New Testament or in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John than anything else.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's right in front of my face. Like God does this, but where is he doing these things? It's on the Great Commission.
Yeah.
It's not like you're not walking around trying to heal all your family members on this. It's like everything has a purpose and it's always to lead people to the, it's always, always to like basically to salvation. Yeah. It's not like you're just like a healer, like we're going to do a healing service now and everyone come up and we're going to heal everyone.
Yeah. Well, I like when you say, God, you know, he doesn't want to heal you and then you still not know who he is and go to hell.
Yeah.
What's the point?
A sober or healed sinner.
A healed sinner.
You get healed, but you go to hell.
That's not the purpose. Never did Jesus do that in scripture either. It was because of salvation.
Salvation.
I did the same thing after that first trip. Like you said, it forces you to go back to scripture. And then I restudied like Acts. And then I started to see the disciples, you know, after Jesus commissioned them. And then they were alone, you know, with the Holy Spirit. Not alone, but with the Holy Spirit. Jesus was gone. And so they were kind of walking in that commandment of like, okay, now I got to go. But they were doing these things of Jesus because at the time, they're living the gospel. There was no gospel like us. We have it 2,000 years. At them, there was, you know, there was the Jewish religion, and then there was pagans, and then there were the disciples. And so Jesus was it was a new thing, and so you couldn't say they weren't even. They heard about Jesus on the cross. You know what I mean? All these things that happened, but they needed this kind of evidence. And so that's what I saw in the scripture, that when they actually had the faith to lay hands or to do the things of Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit was doing it, and then they were like, dude, this is undeniable. Tell me more about this Jesus. And so I think I saw that on that, especially on that first trip, where it was like we would pray for kids. Mm. I remember there was a group of kids that were completely—
Wait, which trip was it? Was it Florida?
That was the second one. The first one was the Montana, Idaho.
Oh, yeah, Montana.
But every time, remember, all that group of kids where they were just like, dude, they were even bragging about how high they were. Mm-hmm. And then even after we— had shared with them and prayed for them, you start to even see the sobriety come back in their eyes. They were like, dude, they completely changed, you know, mm-hmm. or these kids that were hurting and we, you know, they let us pray for them and God would start to heal them and or do things. But it was just God revealing to them, dude, I'm in this. You can trust this. And then obviously what comes next is like, hey, dude, you want to give your life to Jesus? And it was like a no-brainer. These kids are like, dude, I want to do it.
I want to talk more about that story after the break, but I want to regroup back to the Gospels, back to the disciples, what you were saying, because I want to explain a little bit more about what happened in Montana and that little thing, because that's such a cool thing, and we don't have enough time before the break. But going back to the Gospels of the disciples, so here's Jesus. He leaves and he says, you know, post up in Jerusalem. I'm going to give you the power, because you need that. You need the power of the Holy Spirit so the gifts can manifest, because the gifts come with the power. And once you get it, you're going to go and you're going to go tear it up. But don't go without the gifts, because you're going to need the power because people don't believe in me.
Yeah.
And this is what the gifts are for. These are the tools that you're going to use when you're out there in the world, that they're going to come alongside and they're going to manifest. And that's just going to prove without a doubt that I'm real, even for those ones that don't believe. Yeah. Right. Those hard hearts. Yeah. But don't go without the tools. So what do? They wait. The Holy Spirit falls on them. They get baptized, tongues of fire. And then immediately after that, Peter steps forward. That step, boom, the faith kicks in. The power activates.
Yeah.
The gifts of evangelism operate. Yeah. He starts preaching. The Holy Spirit starts downloading the scriptures. He gives them a run to show what happened, why Jesus Christ is the King. At this point, the power of the Holy Spirit's just hovering. It's drawing all man to itself. Yeah. What do we do? Repent and be baptized and give your life to Christ. Boom. Thousands get saved. Church bursts. Then the disciples start going through. They start praying for people to get healed. They're like, I don't know if Jesus is real. Okay. Silver or gold, I do not have. Stand up and walk, homie. Yeah. Boom. What? He walks. He gets saved. He goes into the temple. Wait, why is that the blind or is that the guy that was in the front? No, Jesus just healed me.
Yeah.
The power. People didn't believe. They were jaded. They crucified. They thought Jesus was dead. But then, because the gifts start manifesting, the power starts operating. It's undeniable. Yeah. Jesus is real. Because why is that fool walking? Yeah. Why is that guy seeing?
Right.
Why are these things happening? Right. And that's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
So we're going to get back. We're going to come back to what happened in Montana. Stay with us, because the best is yet to come. Go to killthenoisebook.com. Download the book. The book is called Kill the Noise: Finding Meaning Above the Madness. This is a tool that's, if you don't know God, if you want to know if he's real, if you're struggling, if you want to just be encouraged in faith and you want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, this book is for you. It's for everybody, all ages. KillTheNoiseBook.com. Go check out Sonny Sandoval on Instagram, PayableDeath.com, for all their live shows. We'll talk to you guys 2 minutes after the break.
More of the Ryan Reese Show coming up. Post your questions at Ryan Reese on his Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook. Now back to the Ryan Reese Show.
All right. Well, the first half was epic as well. I knew when I brought Sonny Sandoval, the lead singer from POD, in studio, it was going to be amazing. We've just been talking about, man, but before the break, we're just talking about evangelism and Jesus and the disciples and going out and how Peter, how he stepped forward in the book of Acts and that simple act of faith. Because Jesus says, go and preach the gospel, mm-hmm. signs and wonders will follow. And he says also, go preach the gospel, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey my commandments. So when you step out, you step forward, that simple act of faith. I don't know. There's just something about it. And when you step out and you put your mind in there, like, I'm going to go for it. It's like that childlike faith.
Yeah.
What's, at that point, God just shows up.
It's, dude, it's as easy as it is. It's just as hard.
Totally.
And I think a lot of Christians and believers, a high percentage don't step out because everybody likes their comfort zones.
Well, you know? It's embarrassing. What happens if nothing happens?
Right. No, I do.
Or if they get shut down.
I'm the same way. It's like,
you get insecure.
Yeah. Yeah. Is this God? Is this not God? You know, but, when we go, God, he always shows up.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, talking about God showing up, that's a good, intro to this next section. So you were at home and we were planning to go to Montana. And at that time, like, just where were you at in your faith as far as, obviously, you know, I know that you have a solid relationship with Christ, but did you feel like maybe you were in a place where you're like, man, I need a little bit more, or, you know, cause I know in our Christian walk, I could get, if I'm at home from off tour and I'm working on, you know, my other company and I'm not out in ministry, I feel like I get kind of stagnant.
Dry,
and I'm just like, man, I need to do something.
Yeah.
Like I need to get on tour
because
I want to see God show up.
Yeah,
you know,
it's just more, it's the, for me, it was the unknown. Like I've been doing this for almost 30 years. So now you're telling me I have to stay home, you know,
after I
had the fun and everything with the family, it's like, well, this is kind of weird. You know, as much as I complain when I'm on tour, like, dude, I just want to be home. It's like, I'm used to it. It's kind of the only, it's an unstable routine of mine, you know? And now that I'm home, and just also, again, knowing that God he does stuff when, you know, when I'm out on the road or if I'm just walking in faith. And so when we had the opportunity, or when I had the opportunity to roll with the Whosovers to Montana and Idaho, it was just one of those things I knew that I needed to do. It was just like have this refreshing, like,
totally.
Okay, God's still working. You know, they say the world is ending, but God's still in control. And I just wanted to be a part of something beautiful. I think I had done something before. I helped out with some other outreach stuff.
Oh yeah,
I just wanted to do something cool, you know, and that was not all this drama, the pandemic, you know, this confusion, all the with the social climate, everything that was going on at the time. It was like, dude, I just want to go out and serve people. And this is how we show that God is genuine, by serving people and loving people, you know, and getting dirty. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to go on a 2-week trip was super cool.
I think going is crucial. This is why Jesus told us to go twice, because us as Christians at large, we could get stagnant, all of us.
Yeah.
Like if we're not actually going out and being active in some kind of ministry, like whether you're feeding the homeless,
anything,
juvenile, or just serving at a school, or
anything,
or
selfless.
Exactly. Anything like that, and putting yourself, and you're going with that mind of Christ, like, you know, like I'm doing ministry basically.
Yeah.
That's what's refreshing. When you get your eyes off of you and you're like actually helping people and doing good at whatever capacity, making peanut butter. I mean, there was someone, where were we? We were somewhere and they were making like hundreds of peanut butter and jelly. Was it Taft, California?
It was
somewhere where they were like, I think it was. It was in Taft, California with what's his name? And he was like, every day we make, you know, 500 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and we give out to, you know, this amount of people. Like just even something like that.
It's action. It's
refreshing,
not just talking.
And God honors it and he does something in you and it keeps your walk with Christ fresh. If not, you just know all the word.
Yeah,
you know what it says, but it's not alive.
It's
right?
It's ritual, yeah.
It's a ritual. It's not even live. Yeah. So here you are. You're like, hey, I need to get freshened up. I need to get out on tour. And it worked out perfect. We went to Montana.
Yeah.
Tell me about that experience, because that film's getting edited right now.
Yeah. It was rad. I mean, obviously, I know you and Lucas, and I got to meet the rest of the crew that was involved. But just being around that young blood and then knowing their hearts for the Lord, I knew it would be contagious, for me. And then, like you said before, I feel like a shepherd. I want to kind of watch over them and give them whatever type of experience or knowledge that I might have, and that maybe they can carry on this torch, because, we're getting older. And I really like seeing these young kids just go for it and be fired up.
Yep.
But in the process, it was just kind of a leveling up of my faith. I had seen you guys do the Mexico stuff, and I told you this before, I get, especially when you talk about healings and all these things, it's been so oversaturated and kind of dirtied when you look at these people that, here's the miracle water and the healing water.
It's disgusting.
Just give me $1 million and sell your soul. So, so all those things, and it really distorts the beauty of
the scripture.
It. And the simplicity of it and just the walking in faith. And so when we went, I remember telling you, like, dude, I'm down for whatever. I just, when it's God, it's God. And you know it, and I'm cool with that. I don't ever want it to be, Sonny Sandoval, Ryan Reese, the whosoever's. I don't want it to be a pedestal for us to do whatever. We were talking about arrogance and pride earlier, and the devil will use that, too, to mess you up. And
that's
so
that's our first show. She'll get that.
Yeah. So it always has to be. If when it's God, it's God, and then you just go. And so we did that, and we did see God heal young people. We did see God restore people. We went to
there was one story. Talk about this one, because we only have 18 minutes.
Okay,
left.
Okay.
It was at the church. The school event. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, it was.
That was a whole funny situation.
People just started showing up, but I have to kind of preface it, because I remember telling you where I was like, dude, I'm not a charismatic person, right? Yeah. I'm not, but I believe in all.
Yeah.
If it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, and I'm down with it, And I remember telling you before, like, dude,
you're like, if it's fake,
I'm going to call it out. Yeah. Right? I'm going to call it out. But I was like, dude, if God fills me with the Holy Spirit and then I flop on the ground like a fish, dude, if it's God, at least I can say, dude, it was God, and I'll be genuine. If it's not, I'm going to say, no, it wasn't, dude, But I want to be real with it. And so I was like, dude, whatever God does, and
pretty much all that flopping stuff is pretty
exactly.
Me and you are like,
we have self-control.
That floppy, we ain't buying it.
I don't buy that stuff. That doesn't make you look
for the record,
holier.
For the listeners,
for the
right?
Record, but again, I just want it to be Jesus. I want it to be the Holy Spirit and not me, right?
Totally.
So, and especially when the cameras are around, it's a little different, because you're like, I don't want it to be contrived. I want it to be fake and act like we're trying to get content.
Yep.
All those things.
Totally.
And but this week had already been heavy. We had already been into a youth detention center. One of the kids was up for murder. We had been in a homeless shelters. We'd been everywhere, and God had already been moving. This was that same day where those kids came bragging about how high they were, and then we instantly watched God sober them up, and they were clear-headed, and they were able to, some of them were able to receive the Lord. But there was all these outside people, young kids, and they were anti-God. They were vocal about it, but they thought we were cool to see what we're doing. We were giving pizza. We were playing music. We're
no
having
one
fun.
Left. They kept calling their friends.
They kept calling their friends to come. And then, I was specifically just talking to certain individuals. At the time, I was talking to some kid who was coming off the reservation, and he's sitting there with his practice like knife. What is it? The butterfly knife.
Oh, he's from the reservation.
Yeah, reservation. But he was talking about all this kind of stuff, and I was just letting him talk. I just want to listen. That way, it's not me telling you. It's like, dude, I just want to hear what this kid has to say.
Yeah,
I'm listening, and then there's all this kind of commotion going on. And then at this point, you were already started praying for kids, and then kids were zooming past us, and they were like, dude, something is happening, right? Something's going on, and the kid I'm talking to, his girlfriend comes and grabs him and says, you have to come and see this. That dude Ryan is praying for people, and and kids are getting healed and people, things are happening. And I, in my mind, I'm like, oh no, here oh, we go. No. What's Ryan up to, right? And so so all of a sudden I look over there and then you say, Sonny, come over here and pray for this girl. And then I say, I'm like, dude, why are you going to put me on the spot like that?
You're like, it's already awkward.
Yeah,
why
it's
now?
Already awkward, right? Like people are kind of confused and you're like, I said, dude, why you put me on the spot like that? Just being funny. And yeah. You're like, that's cool, dude. We'll have like nothing. We'll have someone else can pray for her. And then I was like, nah, I got this. Dude.
I remember like it was yesterday.
I got this, you know. So, and then again, go on the spot, uncomfortable, but just trusting in God. And you know, so anyways.
So wait, in your mind, what were you thinking? Were you thinking like it was going to go down or were you kind of
no,
like,
but see, in my mind, well, yeah,
I know you believe.
I believe. Yeah. Like, I know God can do anything. You know, he doesn't need us. He can do anything. But at the time, I'm looking at this young girl like I look, you know, my kid's probably the same age.
Yeah.
And you could tell she's going through things in life, right? Her friend, the hard times. They need a touch from God. They need they need a reason to believe, right? You had just asked her, you said, you don't believe in God, right? She's like, nope. You asked the friend. He's like, nope. They were just flat out honest with it.
No one believed.
At the time, though, I think they thought we were cool. They were just kind of amused, you know, mm-hmm. It was a place to hang.
Yeah.
And so you said, Sonny, come over here and pray for this girl. And then I remember I looked at her and I said, okay, sweetheart. I'm like, if anything, this is more so for me than you, you know. But I was open. I wanted to be transparent. I'm like, look it. I believe God can do anything. I believe God can heal you. You say that your arm hurts. I believe God can do that. If anything, it's for me to not shy away and step out in my faith and just trust God's going to do something, whatever it is. He may or may not heal her, but at least they know we love them. We came here and we believe.
And I do want to point something out. Yeah. This is for the listeners. Like, this is crazy. Think about what's happening here. There's a girl that says she can't lift her arm.
Yeah.
Okay. And she tries to lift it. She says she can't lift it. So now this is that awkward faith.
Awkward moment. Because
This is that step forward. We're like, oh no.
Yeah.
Like all the pressure is like, we're going to pray that God's going to heal her arm.
Yeah.
Like what happens if it doesn't happen? Right. Like then we're going to look like a bunch of bozos.
Yeah. Yeah. No. After I say, hey, is it okay if I pray for you? Right. And I say, dude, if anything, it's more me stepping out my faith, being obedient. And she smiled at me like my kids are like, whatever, dude.
She's like, been believing God. Yeah, she's like, whatever, dude.
Nothing's going to happen. So it's all good. Like, hey, go ahead, guys. You know? And so I'm like, all right. And then I lay my hands on her shoulder. But and I don't even remember what I said. It was more because in my heart, in my mind, I was like, Lord, come on. You know, you have to do something. This girl is lost. Yeah. She doesn't know you. She's going to go to hell in her sins. Uh-huh. And she doesn't know you, Lord. And it's probably it's not even her fault.
Yeah.
Right. She's a kid.
Yeah.
And it's like, Lord, you have to do something. And I'm talking and
that's the mindset.
Having a conversation with God while I'm verbally praying. Uh-huh. But in my heart, I was like, Lord, I know you're not a fool. You know, and I hate that the world tries to make you look like a fool.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, you have to show up. You're not a fool. And I'm like, and if I'm being honest with myself, I don't want to look foolish either. Not that I'm anybody.
Yeah.
But that's a fear.
Yeah.
Remember the singer from BOD came and prayed over us and it was like a complete joke. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think those things.
Yeah.
Whether it's carnal, whatever.
Everyone thinks these.
I think these things.
Everyone thinks this.
So I'm literally just praying, God, can you please do something? Like, just do something because you're awesome and I know you can. In Jesus' name. And then I remember just looking at her kind of like, whatever. And you're like, well? like, well? Like, you're excited. Like, what's going to happen? It's the unknown. And then she's like slowly starts to lift up her hand. And then she gets to the spot where she couldn't again before. Uh-huh. And then I'm like, everything's like in slow motion. Yeah. Like, oh, gosh, what's going to happen? And then she literally lifts it up and she's like, no way.
All the way.
And then she freaks out. She starts to walk away. And then I'm like, dude, come back here. Come back here. And then that's when I asked her. I'm like, dude, don't
the cameras.
Mess with, yeah. I don't care about the cameras. I'm like, don't mess with me. I go, I take, you know, cause I'm like, I take this serious. This is not a joke to me, you know, cause I don't want it to be a joke. Like I've seen on TV or whatever. And I'm like, you look me in my eyes and my face. And like I do with my own kids, you know, I know when they look at me, I know if they lie, you know, and my kids, they don't want to disappoint their father. It's like, dude, they're not going to lie to me. Look at me in my face. And that's how I felt when I looked at her. I was like, look at me in my eyes and tell me that it's legit. And she's like, dude, I feel okay. And she puts her hand up again and she starts shaking around. And I, you know, I was doing everything I could to not act like I knew. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, I know how it goes. I know how this works. But in my mind, I'm like, again, for me, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing up, because I didn't want to look foolish. I didn't want you to be look foolish. And I want this girl to know that you're real, and I want her to go to heaven. And it's really just that innocence of praying for somebody, a complete stranger.
Yeah.
So then you're like, then the other friend that was watching, that you had prayed for his knee, and his knee got better.
Well, that was the original thing.
That was the original.
He was sitting there, and I prayed for him, and his knee got healed. And then
he didn't want to believe it.
He's like, I don't believe in God. He spoke his prayer. So I go, I prayed for his knee, he got healed. And he was trying to make it hurt, and he couldn't hurt. And then he told her, my knee got healed. And she's like, shut the F up.
She's like, it feels good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, no way. And then that, and then one of her other friends that got prayed for by earlier came up and goes, just have them pray for you.
Yeah, because it was working.
Yeah, because God was doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
So then after that, that's when I was like, hey, now listen, you want more? She's like, yeah. I go, are you shocked now that Jesus Christ is real? She's like, yeah, she's like, I just can't believe it. She goes, I feel like I'm in, I feel like I'm asleep, and I just need to wake. I feel like I'm dreaming, and I just need to wake up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I go, well, listen, you need to give your life to Jesus. And I said, do you want to? And she said, yes.
No, I don't even think you asked her, but you just said, as she was in this amazement of like, what the heck just happened? You're all, say Jesus.
Yeah.
And she's like, Jesus, you're all, come into my life. Like, she just... It was a no-brainer. And again, that was nothing that we did. It was just like, dude, God, he did it. And that's what's mind-blowing. And that's what I always wanted to be genuine in that way of not like, look at me. You know, me and Ryan, we're the healers, and just watch out for us because we got all figured out. That's when I can't stand
that.
But it was genuine. And we were both blown away. And I think and that stayed with me the rest of the trip. You know, and it also empowered me, because as soon as we got to the skate park, you know, there was kids that were skating, and as soon as they fall to the ground, they start rolling. I'd literally walk up to them like, hey, dude, I'm gonna pray for you. Is that cool? Yeah. And they're like, go for it, dude. You know, I'd lay hands on them and would just pray for them, you know, and sure enough, they'd slowly get up. But it's just an act of love, you know.
That's it.
It's just made to seem weird, because weird Christians have made it seem weird.
They distorted it. They perverted it.
And it's not.
That's not the way it was. It's not a show. When Jesus was walking around,
doing
his thing, or even the disciples, they were going to the temple and they saw a guy. They're like, "Someone gold I do not have." The guy's like, "Yo, give me some cash.
Yeah.
I don't got no cash." In Jesus' name, stand up and walk. And they just go into the temple.
Yeah.
It was just like, it was just in the daily life. And that's what we were doing there. We were in a group of people, and we weren't going, hey, everyone, come over here and watch this. We were literally going up to people individually and picking them off. Hey, what are you up to? Oh, talking to them, praying with them.
What's going on in
your
life?
Lead them to the Lord and the whole thing. And that's the way that whole circle, it all worked. It was just picking one off at a time. They didn't even know what was going on, but they started talking to each other. Hey, dude, like, this has happened. So the word was getting out.
Yeah.
But what's so awesome about that story is that after she left, this is all this that we're talking about is actually in the Montana film. So you're going to see it all live. You're back. We all went back with the original group that you were talking to when we were watching everything that was going on. And you were like, hey, you were like blown away. You're like, hey, we just prayed for that girl over there. She said her arm couldn't work, you know.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, who?
Gracie.
Cindy? Or
Gracie.
Oh,
yeah, Gracie.
Who, Gracie over there? And they pointed her. She was walking away. And they go, and in the video, they're like, oh, yeah, Gracie. She hasn't been able to lift her arm for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah.
We
know her from school.
For 5 years. Yeah. Everyone knows that. Since junior high, she hasn't been able to lift her arm for 5 years. Yeah. It just got jacked.
Yeah.
And then you're like, in the video, you're like, no, what?
Yeah.
And then you're like, yo, crazy. And then you took off running to go ask her down there.
She was down the street, and I said, dude, how is it still, how's the arm? And she literally waved to me and said, it still feels great. And we were like, whoa. But then another time when you weren't there, to the same girls and this other dude, the brother that you prayed for, that said, dude, my stomach feels better, my back feels better, all these things.
All those girls,
I said, okay, hey. And I was being funny with them. Said, okay, now that Ryan's not here, and you know, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. And they're like, dude, no, when I got here, my stomach was hurting. My back's been jacked up. And they're like, dude, no one's ever talked to us about God the way you guys have. And we, you know, and then she starts to share, like, we never knew that God loved us like the way you guys are explaining it, or that God wanted anything to do with us. And it was like, it was all with that prayer and God showing up and touching them that they were able to receive it. You know, and they all gave their life to the Lord that day.
And I'm so glad you said that, because what happened is when we originally started, you shared and a few got saved. These are all street kids. Everyone's high and drunk. Yeah. So, I mean, there was only a few kids there. There's only probably like 13 people there.
And the before, more started showing,
and then the other one started showing up, the other like, you know, other eight or whatever. But like a small group of them gave their life to the Lord in that first group, right? It was probably like four. So that's when I was like, okay, Jesus says, preach the gospel and signs and wonders follow, right? So I just always hold Jesus to what he says. So the gospel was preached.
Yeah.
You step forward, activate faith, you preach, people got saved, right? Then I'm like, okay, God, everyone didn't get saved. So now you got to start moving in power because you said, preach the gospel. Now, the, you know, signs and wonders will follow, will follow. So that's when I was like, hey, talking to them. They were, none of those, that first group were Christians none of them gave their life to the Lord. So then I just started saying, all right, let me see like what their needs are. Like, hey guys, are you, how are you doing? Are you physically okay? Are you got backs, knees hurt? Like, is there issues going on that are in, you know, going on with you? And that's when they were like, oh, you know, I have chronic stomach pain. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if she had an ulcer or what, but stomach chronic pain. Some had back problems.
Yeah.
So then what I did is I prayed for one. Boom, she got healed. Not a Christian, okay? This girl doesn't believe in God. She's actually never even been to church, that young girl.
Yeah.
She goes, in the movie, brother, she's like, I've never been to church ever in my life. My parents have never, I don't know anything about church.
Yeah.
So she gets prayed. I pray for her. She gets healed. Then I have her pray. Then, see, I only prayed for one person because God's the healer, right? It's not me. I'm stepping forward for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
So then I go, oh, so now she has faith. She believes that God's real. So I go, now you lay your hands on her and you pray for her, like we did the Mexico film. So she prayed. Then that girl got healed. Then I have her pray for her friend. So they just went in a circle. Then at the end, I led them all to the Lord because now they believe through the power of the Holy Spirit. God manifests like, hello, you guys heard the gospel. You didn't give your life to Jesus. You didn't give your life to me. Now I'm going to show you in power. I'm going to really wake you up and like show you that I exist supernaturally. Then they get healed. They give their life to Christ. And then because that happened to them, then we start praying for them to get filled with the Spirit.
Yeah.
And that's another gift when you read about in Book of Acts. It says that they laid their hands on them and they got the baptism. Remember, some of them got saved, but they didn't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. There's the laying on of hands to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's another thing.
Yeah.
That's another operation.
Right.
So we started laying our hands on them and they were getting filled with the Spirit. Yeah. And because of that, the feeling of the Spirit, that girl with the red, I don't know if you remember, she was the one that wanted to be a doctor.
Yep, I remember.
She's the one that ran around to the other girl when you were about to pray for her.
She was the girlfriend.
The girl's like, no, I don't want her. I don't want you to pray for me, Sonny. Remember that?
Yeah.
That girl with the red came running down the park lot and goes, hey, have them pray for you. Just watch what happens. We were just up there. Just watch. Just let them. Just trust me. Let them pray for
you. She vouched for us.
And because of that, that's when you put your hand on her.
Yeah.
So it was like, God used what happened in this part. Think about how God works supernaturally in the natural realm. God used what was happening in that parking lot up top for them to get touched, for that girl to run down to the parking lot at that moment at the end of the event and just go, trust me, let them pray for you.
When you see in the spiritual, like, it was so orchestrated by the Lord how every little thing worked, you know what I mean? Which was,
amazing. Well, I got some good news. Have you been on that group text with Raspberry?
Yeah, I know.
He's the kid from this parking lot. Well, he gave his life to Christ. He's from some of the fruit. He's going through a tough time because he's like a single dad. He's young, troubled kid. You know, going through in and out of jail, different things. But he's walking with God. He's reading the Bible. He has peace. He's working out his faith. And this is just one of the pieces of fruit from the trip. And this was just a couple days ago.
I love it. I love it. Because I will never forget. I remember with those kids, I was like, it's you five right here. I will not, even in the film, I'm like, I will not forget your faces. Like, dude, you don't realize that God, he set a moment in time in all of eternity for you to be here. You guys stumbled up here just because you wanted pizza. And now you're hearing about Jesus. You know what I mean? And Raspberry was, he was out of his mind. At the skate park, he was out of his mind.
Remember, he got arrested
and then he came back. And dude, I gave it to him straight. Once he told me I had a kid, then I gave him some daddy love. Yeah. And I was like, you need to knock it off.
Yeah.
And then I even hooked him up with one of the pastors there on the last day. And they're like, we're going to follow up with them. So I'm sure they, you know, we all operate as a team. Yeah. I'm sure they've been helping him out. And now in Montana, Joe's is I think probably going to disciple him or help him. So God's faithful in those things,
so
man.
Many cool things.
In, And you can never, it's like, you just want people to see these things, hear these things, and know this. It's not just what they think Christianity is. Like, dude, this is real, living, walking out your faith. And if it was fake, I would have said, this is a bunch of crap, dude.
I would call
but
it as,
I would call it as it is. But I'm it's not, rad. It's
I'm
rad
not
to
in,
see.
I'm not in, we have 1 minute left. I'm not into the fake stuff.
Yeah.
I'm into the Bible. I just, I read it. I just believe it. And I just go, I'm holding you, God, to your word. And I just, I'm always tying scripture to it because that's where the balance is. Like, you know, you could run around and talk about all the signs and wonders and miracles and all these things and turn into freaking La La Land and charismatic weirdo. But it's about word and power.
Yeah.
The word and power. It God gave us the word, which is the Bible, but then he goes, don't leave Jerusalem till you get the power. And when the power comes, it's going to go down. Read the book of Acts. Yep. It happened.
Yeah.
Just trust the word. But not only trust the word, you got to move in power. Mm. And the power will activate. It's like being in a dragster. When you hit the gas, whoo, it lights up and you go. That pushing the pedal on the metal, that's that step four.
Yeah.
You got to know the word and you step forward and that's when you hit that gas and that's when the power happens. And God does whatever he wants to do in that power moment. Yeah. So I'm going to end it here. We love you guys. Thank you. Go to thewhosoevers.com. Get all the past shows. Book us for tour. Mm-hmm. Watch the films. Go to thewhosoevers.com. Watch the full send and go to killthenoisebook.com and get the book so you can get active in the power. Peace.
This has been The Ryan Reese Show. To connect and find out more about Ryan, click on ryan-reese.com. Check us out next Saturday at 9 p.m. for The Ryan Reese Show.
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. God invites us to cultivate thankful hearts by turning our eyes toward him. In good times and bad. To listen to more Abide Christian Meditations, just go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Christian Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.